So, like I said, today is family day, and we have lunch downstairs, but we're going to have the kids stay up here. My message will be shorter. Just waiting for an amen. I was just waiting for somebody. There was your chance, Chris. You missed it. We're just going to get started in just a minute, but before we do that, let's just pray. Can we do that? Can we just pause for a moment and transition and just ask God to help us? Lord, we thank you for today and for all that you've done for us. And we just quiet our hearts and our minds and we focus on you. And God, there's this wonderful story in your word about this man who took a step of faith and trusted you. And so, God, I know in my own life and in the lives of these your people, we need to take a step of faith. We need to trust you. And so, God, just make that real to us today, from the youngest to the oldest. In Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, today is family day. I want to just make you aware, if your young person or your husband gets restless, we have a family room right back there where the service is broadcast in there. You can go in there. We have a nursery that's available. And so if you need to do that, you can do that. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Hebrews chapter 11 is where we are. I'm just going to get you caught up a little bit. We started a series a couple of months ago in the book of Hebrews called Greater Than. And we've been making the case that Jesus is greater than everything and anything. And Hebrews goes through, he's greater than angels, and he's greater than Moses and Aaron and the Old Covenant and all these kind of things. And so we've been talking about that. And 2 weeks ago, we jumped into Hebrews 11, and we looked at verse 1. I'm just going to put it up quickly, and then we'll get rolling with some stuff. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's kind of a definition of faith. This idea that faith is this trust, this confidence, this assurance in God, not in your bank account or your work or your spouse, but it's trusting God with your life and your situation and putting your hope and your faith in him. Another translation says it like this. I like this. This is the New Century Version. It says, faith means being sure of things we hope for and knowing that something is real even if we don't see it. Like, isn't that really faith? It's not knowing it or seeing it, but it's trusting and believing God for the best. And so this chapter is very special because it's all about heroes of the faith. This is known as the faith chapter, and it goes through all these different people in the Bible. Next week I'm doing Abraham. In 2 weeks, Pastor Gwen is doing Sarah. And so there's all these people mentioned in God's word, and it begins like this almost every time. By faith. By faith. So-and-so did this. By faith, by faith. And so we just want to have an understanding of what faith is and where we're going. And so it's this trust, this belief, this confidence, this dependence on God for every single detail of our lives. And so here's what I need you to do. We're going to do something a little different. As you can see, I'm going to show you my artistic ability or lack thereof in just a minute. But I decided today I really don't want to draw alone. And so would you guys be willing to draw with me? Even if you can't. So here's what I need the ushers to do. And they're standing and they're ready. Everybody needs to get a crayon. I know some of you haven't played with crayons in decades. It's okay. So go ahead. You can start passing them out. Everybody needs a crayon and everybody needs my notes. I don't know if you got a bulletin. Yeah, can I get that? I don't know if you got a bulletin. If you didn't, they're going to give some out. We have these papers. You need this paper and a crayon. I know you're looking at me like I'm out of my mind. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. And if you're watching online, let me just tell you, get a piece of paper. Go ahead and search for a crayon in your house. It's okay. Get a pencil or a pen. I'm going to have you fill in some notes. And then on the back of the paper, we're going to do some drawing. You up for that? Sure. What do you think, Savannah? You up for that? You sure? Okay, you don't look like you are. Here, Pastor Gwen. So everybody needs a crayon and a piece of paper. They're coming around, and I'm just going to keep going with the message, and so you can get everything handed out, and then I'll tell you where we're going with all of this. All right? And if you don't have a paper or something to write with, just raise your hand. The ushers will get to you. If you didn't get a bulletin coming in, there's plenty left over, and we'll get them to you. I want to begin like this. I'm going to say one word, and I want you to tell your neighbor, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Okay? I'm going to tell you a name of someone in the Bible. You tell your neighbor, what's the first word you think of? You ready? Noah. Noah, what's the first word that comes into your mind? Somebody said the ark. Somebody said what? The flood. Yeah, they're the two big words. If you Google them, they're the two big words that come up. When you hear the word Noah, you think usually one of two things. You think ark or boat and flood. And so today I want to look at the story of Noah again. Because, and here's the great thing, Noah is mentioned in this faith chapter in Hebrews 11. There's not a lot about him. It's just one verse. But we also know, and we'll be in Genesis, we also know in Genesis, I think it's three or four chapters that are dedicated to the story of Noah. And so look, if you have your Bibles, Hebrews 11, verse 7, it says this, by faith, isn't that interesting? By faith. And if you don't have time now, but if you go through the chapter, it says by faith Abraham, and by faith Sarah, and by faith Jacob, and Joseph, and Moses, and Joshua, and we heard last week about Abel and Enoch. By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is keeping with his faith. And so this morning, I want to use this verse as kind of a springboard to go back to Genesis chapter 6 and look at the story of Noah. And I'm going to have you, as well as I, do some drawing. And I promise, at the end, when I wrap it up, it will make complete sense. Can you stay with me for a couple of minutes? Can you focus in? Awesome. So, everybody's got a piece of paper. Does anybody not have paper or does not have a crayon? Oh, awesome. Everybody's got it. Wait, do you have one? Oh, you're raising your crayon. I didn't ask you to raise your crayon. I just said if you don't have one, raise your hand. So, everybody's got one, right? Good. Awesome. So, here we go. Genesis chapter 6, if you would. Genesis chapter 6, we're going to look at the story of Noah. And you know what? I want to do this. Instead of me reading, do I have somebody who's brave enough to come up here and read this story for me? I have all the notes, I promise. Is there anyone? I'd love a young person, but even if not, I'll take an adult. Is there anybody? I see the hand in the back. I don't know who it is, but come on. No, it was back here on this side. Who was raising their hand? Come on. Let's go. You had first hand up. You can give her a round of applause. She's probably extremely nervous. Look at that. I have a seat for you and everything. How great is that? I'm here. Introduce yourself.
Oh, hi, my name is Lenora Lampson.
And I don't think it was on. You got to say it again. No, it's on, but I'm saying it's sound.
My name is Lenora Lampson.
Good. Welcome. Have a seat. Okay. You all right?
I'm good.
Good. I put it right here for you. How great is that? I know, man. I know. You want to read it from here?
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I read it
from here every week, and people don't know what it's like. Because here's the thing, and I shouldn't tell you this. There's a terrible glare on this from the windows. So when you see me move my head like this, right. I'm not crazy. I'm really not. I know some of you are like, wow, look at him read. He moves his head a lot. It's the windows, the reflection on the window. So yeah, you want to read from here?
Sure.
That would be amazing.
I didn't bring my glasses up.
You didn't bring your glasses up?
Yeah.
Do you need glasses?
No, I'm good.
It's big enough, right?
Yeah.
That's why I make it that font, so I don't have to use my readers either. All right, so here we go. Are you there? Genesis chapter 6. We're going to read a little bit, then we'll pause. I'll make some comments, and then I've got a couple points for you. But the whole time, we're going to be going to our drawing board, and at the end, I'm going to wrap this up. All right? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 5. Here we go.
Okay. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. for I regret that I have made them.
Yes, that was good stuff. I love that with the you got the heart. His heart was deeply troubled. Did you catch that? I love that inflection. So, do you see what's happening here? So, I think I don't have to explain all that. The Lord is looking at mankind, and if you don't know the story, Genesis, the beginning of Genesis, he creates Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve disobey God. They sin. Sin is introduced into the equation. Everything changes after that. And this is, listen, this is thousands of years later, because people live to be a long age. So this is hundreds, a couple thousand years later, down the generations after Adam, right? The people are doing whatever they want. Doesn't it sound a little bit like today? I see you shaking your head. Yeah, yeah. And so God's like, listen, there's so much sin, and their hearts, did you catch that part? Every inclination of their thoughts of the human heart was towards what? Evil. That's all they were focused on, was evil, doing the wrong things. And God's just like, I've had enough. I'm going to wipe everything out, and I'm going to start over again. But something happened. Put up the slide. Look at verse 8. Watch this. Go ahead.
But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord.
So there's this one guy who finds favor with God. Favor with God. Do you remember our verse back in Hebrews 11? Right? That God warned him by faith. He trusted God. And so there's this one guy that gets God's attention. And God asks Noah to build a boat. Look at verse 9. Here we go.
This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood and make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out.
So God basically has come to the conclusion, I'm going to wipe everything out, and I'm going to start again with you, Noah. And notice this, and most people miss this in the story. Does Noah know how God is going to destroy the earth?
No.
He hasn't told him. We know, because we know the story.
Right.
Noah doesn't know yet. Noah doesn't know that there's going to be a flood, that there's going to be rain, that there's going to be all these springs, the Bible says, that open up from the ground and water comes from everywhere. And the entire earth floods. He doesn't know that yet. God hasn't told him that much yet. But he says to Noah, who says is a righteous, blameless man who walks with God, he tells him that he is going to build an ark, build a boat, build a boat. Here we go. Jump to verse 17, Genesis 6. Here we go.
I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, and you and your sons, and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you.
You probably know this story, right? How many? I kind of grew up in church. I grew up going to what they remember Sunday school. Everybody remember that?
Yeah.
Used to go to Sunday school before church, and so I grew up in that. And I remember my teacher telling us this story. And we didn't have TVs back then in our classrooms like we do today. We had a thing called a felt board. Come on, somebody. Come on, old school. And there was this picture that would stick to it, and there was an ark, and there was water, and there was a rainbow. Remember this? Come on. And so this is kind of the story. God tells him, listen, I'm going to flood the earth, and you're going to be safe. You and your family and your sons, he has three sons, and your sons' wives are going to be safe in this ark. And here's the amazing thing. I'm going to save two of every creature on the earth. Now, I know for some of us, and listen, I didn't want to get into this too much, and so I'm not going to talk about it a whole lot, but there's a lot of people that don't believe this is literal. That the flood was maybe figurative or local, a local flood, like maybe it just flooded over in the Mideast and things like that. Listen, The Bible says the entire earth was covered. Actually, the Bible says, I don't know if we're reading it, it's in my, but I've been reading the story all week, that the highest mountain in the world, which we know today as Mount Everest, there was 15 cubits, or about 23 feet of water above the highest mountain on the planet. Now, you can take it for what it's worth. You can think, well, that's probably maybe not true, or the writer's exaggerating, or maybe it's a local thing. Listen, the Bible tells us that it was the entire earth. And I don't have time to get into it because I don't want to bore you and kids are here. But there is evidence, overwhelming evidence. Just quick example. So if the entire earth was flooded, don't you think we would have marine life in the middle of the United States? Like creatures from the ocean, 1,000 miles from any ocean. Do you know that we do, right? Do you know they discovered in Colorado and all these different places in the middle of our country, there is marine life that they've discovered that have been down in rocks. Where do you think that came from? Do you think they just swam onto dry land and died? No, there was a flood over the entire earth. And here's another thing. Just I don't want to get into all the details. Here's another thing. In Matthew 24, Jesus mentions the flood. Mm-hmm. Man, that's enough for me. I don't know about you, but if Jesus mentions Noah and the flood and how it was like and all this stuff, you know what? I'm buying it. Yeah. If Jesus is selling it, I'm buying it. So listen, you can be in here and we can debate about whether it was local or whether it was the entire world, or you can believe maybe that this story was fiction. I believe with all my heart that this happened. And there's going to come a day when I'm in heaven, and guess who's going to be there? Noah's going to be there. And I'm going to be like, "What's up, Noah? What's up, boy?" You know what I'm saying? You know, you got to give him a little, love. And so he can tell us the story about what it was like and how, I know I'm getting ahead of myself, how it took him 100 years to build the boat. What? Some of you are like, what? Do the research. It took him over 100 years from when God told him to build the ark to when it was complete. He didn't have power tools. He didn't have a chainsaw. He had his hands. He had some type of sharp object to cut the wood by hand. 100 years faithfully serving God. That's incredible. All right, listen, here we go. Where do we finish up? Okay, we just finished up with that. Look at this last verse of the chapter. Chapter 6, here we go. Look at this last verse, read that for us.
Noah did everything just as God commanded him.
Man, that's a great verse. It says that in chapter 7 as well. The writer twice includes this phraseology. Noah did everything that God commanded him. Everything that God commanded him, he did. Now, here's what I need you to do. Take your crayon. You ready to go? Flip your paper over to the blank side. We haven't got to my notes yet. Flip your over to the blank side. Here's what I want you to do. Now, let me just tell you ahead of time. If I took art, I would fail art. Okay? Like that's, I'm kind of glad Teresa's here and she's quite an artist. And her husband Cliff is an amazing artist. And I put Cliff downstairs in the kitchen cooking because I don't want him up here to see how terrible I draw. All right? So he's downstairs helping cook and getting food ready. But here's what I need you to do. My markers are colored. Yours, I don't know what color crayon you had, but it doesn't matter. So I need you to do this. I need you to draw just a line across all the way to the one side. That's going to be our ground. That's why I did it in green. That's our grass, right? So you have that? And then I need you, and you can, listen, I don't care what kind of arc you draw. If you want to draw an ocean liner, if you want to draw a cruise ship, go right ahead. We don't really know exactly what it looked like. We have the dimensions and all these kind of things. So I'm going to do my best. And I've already practiced once. It was really horrible. I erased it yesterday. I practiced this and then I erased it. How sad is that? Isn't that sad? Keisha's like, yeah, that's pretty bad. I know. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to draw an arc. I told you mine was pretty sad. Okay? And so if you want to give it a roof, you can give it a roof. If you want to give it some windows, the Bible says there was a little window. I'm going to give you a few. I told you it was pretty sad, right? So just go ahead with your crayon and draw a nice little arc there. Wow. Now listen, I'm going to be selling this afterwards, if anybody. Yeah. I will pay you to take it off my hands. How's that? Yeah, somebody would take it then. So you have this, right? You have the arc. You've drawn it with your crown. Do me a favor. Just go ahead and show your neighbor. Show your neighbor. Show off your skill. Go ahead and peek at your neighbors. Go ahead. It's all good. Pastor Gwen said hers looks more like a canoe. Okay, that's fine too. Good luck getting all the animals in your canoe. All right, you got it? Everybody drawing? Awesome, awesome. I haven't lost anybody yet, right? Okay, good. Here we go. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. Here we go. Here's what it says.
The Lord then said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation."
That is probably one of the best verses in this story.
You and your whole family.
And I would love to tell you about it. And I will tell you at the end of my message. We'll come. Don't forget this verse. This is an incredible verse. And I will tell you why at the end. But let's keep reading. Verse 4.
7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds, and of all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark, as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the flood waters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights.
You know this story, right? 40 days, 40 nights, rain falls. Springs from under the ground open up. Just 2 weeks ago, and I knew I was doing this message. Just 2 weeks ago, I'm on my computer and I'm looking at different things, and I'm always reading stuff. And so I come across this article that says they have discovered underneath the Atlantic Ocean, on our side of the Atlantic. Did you read this? You're shaking your head. They discovered a freshwater reservoir underneath the Atlantic Ocean. Because they do all these different kind of, I don't even know how they do it, sonic waves. It stretches from New Jersey past Massachusetts. Hundreds of miles. And I don't even remember how much water is in it, but they say it's underneath the Atlantic, and it's fresh water. It's not salt water. It's fresh water. And they think that we have these all over the world. It's not just under the Atlantic Ocean. There's places they haven't even discovered. And so when the Bible says that springs broke forth from underneath the ground, you know, it's just amazing to me that God has created all of this. So, I know some of you are looking at me like, no, 600 years when he started building, or when he got finished building the ark? Yes, he was. And know this, that after the flood, people didn't live as long. God changed things. And this is so cool. I don't remember what the verse is, but in a couple of chapters after the flood, we don't have time to read this, but after the flood, and Noah at the end makes a sacrifice, and you know what God shows. What's the promise that God gives that he will never destroy the earth again by flood? Rainbow, rainbow. Well, in the midst of all that, if you read the chapter, it also says this, that God put a fear in the animals for mankind. Now, a lot of people miss this and don't know this is in the Bible, but it's in there. I should have got the exact scripture, but it's in there. That God tells Noah, after this, the animals will fear you. So up to this point, and you need to understand this, because a lot of people think, how did all these animals come into the ark and survive together? I mean, how did a lion not eat a lamb? Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, that's lamb chops. Come on, somebody. And that's delicious. And so how did that not happen? So that wasn't happening before the flood. After the flood, God put this thing in the animals where they feared man and all this kind of stuff. And so when we read the story, even though it sounds a little far-fetched, it is not. Nothing is far-fetched for God. God could do all of this, and he does this. And these animals come, we know, two by two. They go on the ark. God sends the water. The boat actually floats. Mine doesn't look like it would, but it does. And they survive. Look at verse 18. This is our last little portion of scripture here. Or actually, we've got one more after this. Okay. Or did we read this? Did we read this? No, let's read this. Let's read this. Here we go.
The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to the depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on the land perished. Birds, livestock, and wild animals, all the creatures that swam over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died.
Wow. Isn't that quite a verse? Everything that breathed, except for Noah and the animals and his family, died. Keep going, I'm sorry.
Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days.
150 days. It's a long time, right? Yeah. It's a couple months. Just water everywhere. Chapter 8. Just jump over to chapter 8 for me. This is our last portion of scripture. Then we're going to do a couple more things. Verse 18. Here it is. So this is the end. The water subsided. It's been a long time because it wasn't just there was water on the earth. It took a long time for the water to go somewhere. Does that make sense? Yeah, I did some study this week. I didn't include it in my message. But if you're interested, do a little Google search on how the Grand Canyon came to be. Like I know there's a lot of evolutionists and people that don't believe in God that say that it formed over millions and millions of years. You know, all the evidence points to there was a lot of water rushing somewhere at one time. Sounds like the flood, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. At one point of the Grand Canyon, it's 18 miles deep. Like how does that form? Science tells us that is not something that erodes over time, because if it was, it would be much wider and the sides of it would be very unstable because it would erode over time. But if you get a mighty rushing water, that's what you get. It's just incredible. Search it. Here we go. Chapter 8, verse 18.
So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. All the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on land, came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled of the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all creatures as I have done."
Yes. Can we give it up for my assistant? Oh, yeah. I'll take this. Yeah, I just want to turn it off. And how many of you have ever been to Disney before? You know, Disney, don't go anywhere, I'm not done with you. Disney has this thing called Fast Pass, where you can go to the front of the line. So this is a Crossroads Fellowship Fast Pass. When you go downstairs for lunch, at any time, you can go to the front of the line. Yes. So if she cuts you off in line, you can come see me. All right? Thank you very much. One more time. Didn't you do great? So listen, do me a favor. I have this wonderful drawing that you're studying. Flip it over. I got a couple notes. I'm just going to be a few minutes. I'm going to do these quick, and then we're going to go downstairs and have lunch together. Oh, you know what? Let me do this. Before we do this, let me just do this. Flip it back over to your ark, and let's do this. We know that Noah is on the ark. So here's what I need you to do. You don't have to draw his family and everything, but let's draw Noah on the ark. Now, you put him where you want. I'm going to put him out here having a good time, out on the deck, enjoying the show, and he's no question he's smiling. He's having a good time. I know you guys are amazed at my drawing. It's okay. I know it takes your breath away, but just go ahead and put Noah somewhere. You can put him in the ark if you want. You can put him on the ark. You can put him on your canoe if you want. And then when you're done, flip the paper over. I've got four thoughts, just four calls, real quick, that we can learn from the life of Noah when it comes to faith, when it comes to trusting in God. Because Hebrews 11:7 says that by faith, he believed in God and built an ark, even though it had never rained before. It's incredible. Here we go. First thought. Noah's faith was rooted in grace. And I'll explain that in just a minute. Noah's faith was rooted in grace. If you look back at Genesis 6:8, it says this, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That word favor, in the original Hebrew, that's what the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. That is the word for grace. Now, your Bible might say grace. Some translations say, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is the first time the Bible mentions the grace or the favor of God. That's pretty incredible in the story, that God is showing his people favor or grace. And so here's a definition. I put this in your notes. Here's a definition if you want to write with your crayon, because I know you're enjoying this. The definition, grace can be defined as God's unmerited favor or unearned favor. That God does something good for you even though you don't deserve it. Now, how many of us have ever experienced some type of grace? It doesn't have to be from God. It could be from someone else. Somebody has done something for you even though you didn't deserve it, right? We all have. And God has extended his grace to us even though we don't deserve it. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Aren't you glad for grace? I am so glad for God's grace. And Noah was a good man, but Noah didn't deserve this. But yet God showed him favor. It says this in Romans 3. This is a great verse when it comes to grace. Everyone has sinned and falls short of God's glorious standard, and all need to be made right with God. Help me out. By his what? Grace. By his grace, which is a free gift. I love gifts. I love gifts, especially when they're free gifts. And God has given us his grace, his favor. He's done something for you and I that we don't deserve. And yet God has extended his love towards us, even though we didn't earn it, even though we don't deserve it. And it says they need to be made free from sin through Jesus Christ. That is God's grace. No one meets God's standard of holiness. No one. There's not one person that can stand before God in their sin and say, I deserve to be in God's presence, or I deserve to be in heaven. You don't. And so we need something. And that's where God's grace comes in. And so Noah found grace or favor in God's eyes. And so we need to understand the first thing with this. Noah's faith, his trust, his confidence in God began because God showed him grace. And that's where it all begins. Number two, if you're taking notes with your crayon. Noah's faith responded in obedience. Noah's faith responded in obedience. If you look at verse 22, we read this. Noah did everything just as God had commanded him. Please don't miss this. Listen. Don't miss this next sentence. Listen. Noah built an ark, which had never been built before, right? Because of rain, which he had never seen before. Noah built an ark because of the rain, which they had never seen before. It's just incredible. Why would he do that? Because God instructed him to. That's what we call obedience. And if you are going to serve God, listen to me, young people, teenagers, adults, if you're going to serve God, it's going to take obedience. It's going to take obeying God and putting your faith and your trust in him. I just wrote down a couple things in my notes. Just to keep in mind, as you kind of maybe you know the story of Noah, but you forget. So first of all, and I just mentioned it never rained before. Never rained at all. They didn't know what it was. Before the flood, God would water the earth with dew. We know what dew is. And every morning they would get up and the ground would just be wet and everything would grow because of that. But it had never rained before. And yet Noah's building a boat because God told him it's going to rain. Noah built the boat over 500 miles from any body of water. Isn't that crazy? That would be like going on the other side of Ohio and building a boat for the Atlantic Ocean. Not a whole lot of sense. But yet he did it because God told him to. The boat itself was over a football field long. That's a big boat, is it not? Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever been to a football game? That's a big field. The boat was bigger than it was actually the size of about a football field and a half. Football field and a half. I told you earlier, it took him over 100 years to build. Every day, getting up, you know, getting his cup of coffee, kissing his wife on the cheek, and she's saying, "What are you doing today, honey?" Going out to finish the boat. Every day, not for a year or 5 years or 10 years, for 100 years, doing the same thing, being obedient, trusting God. I'm sure there were neighbors and people around him that were like, "Dude, what are you doing? You know, you're going to drive down our real estate, you know, by building a stupid boat in the middle of nowhere," right? I'm sure he got ridiculed and mocked and made fun of. And yet he does it with no power tools. Every day, going out, building a boat because God told him. Listen. Faith should cause us to act. Faith is an action word. It's not a passive word that has nothing attached to it. Faith should be an action. It should be something that we do, that we respond in obedience to who God is. Are you trusting God? Are you living in faith today like Noah? Now, I'm not saying that God's going to tell you to build a boat. I'm not saying that. But sometimes God tells us to do things and take a step of faith, even though it doesn't make sense. And that's what happened here with Noah. Noah, I want you to do this and save your family. And he did it. Here's the third thought. We're moving quick. Noah's faith rejected the wickedness around him. Noah's faith rejected the wickedness around him. We began reading about how wicked the world was when Noah lived. And verse 5 of Genesis 6 says this: "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and every inclination of their thoughts of the human heart was only evil sometimes." All the time. All the time. That's all they were doing was the opposite of what God wanted, which is sin. That's what was happening. And then we read this a few verses later in verse 9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was righteous and blameless, and he walked faithfully with God. Look at those words, just real quick. Look at those words. Righteous, righteous. It means this. It doesn't mean he was perfect. It doesn't mean he was holy. It means this. He lived the right way. He lived the way God wanted him to live. That's what righteousness means. Living a right life, not according to you, not according to someone else, according to what God wants. God has set a standard. Righteousness is living the right way and honoring him with your life. Then it says the word blameless. Blameless doesn't mean he was perfect, but it means this. It means that he had integrity and he had character. And what integrity does, and I don't have time to get into it, but what integrity does this. When I'm wrong, I'll admit it and I'll change. Right? That's what a person of character and integrity does. When I've done wrong, when I've sinned, when I've messed up, you own it, you admit it, and then you do your best not to do it again. That's character. That's integrity. The Bible says he was blameless. And blameless here has this idea of that Noah lived in a corrupt world, but the world did not corrupt him. Please get that. Please get that this morning. Because here's the truth. I'm not Noah and neither are you, but we live in a corrupt world that would love to corrupt you. But Noah lived a blameless life. He lived in a corrupt world, and he refused to let the world corrupt him. Boy, listen, let me just say this. We need more people like that. We need more people to make a stand for God. When everybody else is running that way, and you know it's the wrong way, you're like, "I don't care, I'm going this way." When all your friends, listen to me, young people, when all your friends are doing this, or saying this, or talking like this, or looking at things, or listening to things, or watching things, and you say, "You know what, I'm not going to do that, I'm going this way." We need more Noahs. We need more blameless people that would say, "You know what? I refuse to let the world corrupt me. I'm going to live for God." Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor. Thank you. I'm going to just go ahead and encourage myself. That's fine. Last one, it says he walked faithfully with God. It's this idea, and we talked last week about this, that Enoch walked with God. It's an idea of fellowship and friendship with God. It's a connection. Noah had this. Listen. Do you have this in your life? Are you walking with God on a daily basis? Are you living right, making right choices? Are you living a blameless life that when you do wrong, you own it and admit it and want to change, and you're not letting the world corrupt you? Noah had faith and trust in God, and his faith, listen, rejected the wickedness of the world. Here's what I need you to do. Flip your papers over. We're going to do some more drawing. Here's what I need you to do. You're going to love this one, right? And you can put as many as you want. I need you to draw the people that didn't make it into the ark. There's some people in the world that didn't make it into the ark. They were left on the outside. They saw Noah building an ark. Here's the sad news. They had 100 years to change. They had 100 years to repent. They saw Noah. He was living a righteous and blameless life. He was honoring God. Yeah, he was doing something a little strange. Absolutely. But they had this opportunity, but they were left out. The Bible tells us that Noah and his family got into the ark. And I don't know if you know this, but the Bible says that when he built this, there was a door. You can draw one if you want. There was a door. Do you know how the door was shut? God shut it. The Bible says that. Listen to this verse. Chapter 7, verse 16. The animals going in were male and female, every one of them, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord, and we know this, I've shared this before. When you see Lord capitalized like that, that's God's proper name. Right? That's God's proper name. The Lord himself shut the door. He's like, yeah, all the animals are in. Nobody wants to join you. It hadn't started raining yet. God's like, good. I'll shut the door. And the sad news is, no one else was getting in. Noah's faith rejected the wickedness of the world around him. And listen, I don't want to assume this, the Bible doesn't say this, and I don't. You can take this for what it's worth. This is my opinion. I would probably think that when it started raining, that a lot of people ran to the boat. Isn't that human nature? And all these springs started coming forward, and there's water on your ankles, and then it's at your knees, and you don't even know what swimming is, and there's no canoes or life jackets. There's no Coast Guard. There's nothing. There's nothing to save you. And I'm sure, and I'm assuming this, they probably heard some pounding on the ark. Let us in. Come on, Noah. I'm your favorite neighbor. God shut the door. It was too late. It was too late. They had 100 years of watching Noah build the boat. They had 100 years of Noah living a righteous life. They had 100 years to make things right with God. It was too late. Last thought, and I'll end with this. Listen. Noah's faith was rewarded. His faith was rewarded. His reward was this. Don't miss this word. His reward was this. Salvation. He was saved from destruction. Not just him, but his family. Hebrews 11. Verse 7, listen to what it says. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, hadn't happened yet, there'd been no flood, no rain, in holy fear or reverence, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that is keeping with his faith. Because of his faith in God, he was able to rescue himself and his family. That was his reward. But on top of that, he became an heir of righteousness. We're going to see Noah someday. If you're a believer in Christ, you're going to see Noah someday. That's going to be really cool. I'll be like, Noah, which animal was your favorite? Right? Which one gave you a hard time? But we're going to be there. He's included in the heroes of the faith for a reason, with Abraham and Moses and Joshua and all these people. And I would think that it was difficult for Noah for 100 years to do something that no one else was doing. And let me just say this. If you're a follower of Christ, if you've surrendered your life to Christ, there's going to be some difficult things that you're going to have to do that not a lot of other people are doing. At work, in your neighborhood, with your friends, with your family, whatever the case is. Sometimes there's some things you have to do that are very difficult. And I would think that Noah was mocked and ridiculed, because the Bible says this in 2 Peter 2:5. It says this about Noah. Noah is mentioned a couple times in other portions of the Bible. Jesus mentions him in Matthew, obviously Hebrews. But 2 Peter, Peter includes Noah, and he says this: "And God punished the world long ago when he brought a flood to the world that was full of people who were against him. But God saved Noah, who preached about being right with God." One translation says he was a preacher of righteousness. So Noah wasn't just building a boat. Noah was telling people, hey, listen, you know, there's a God. And if you're not right with him, danger is coming. Danger is coming. And I think today, we need to be preachers of righteousness. We need to be warning the people around us, because the reality is this. Please don't miss this, because I'm going to wrap this up. There's not going to be a flood. There's not going to be an ark. But there is going to come a day when Jesus is going to come back to take his people. And then the door is going to be closed. It's called Judgment Day. When God divides, here are my people, and here are the people that rejected me. And you know there's only two options. There's only accept Jesus or reject Jesus. There's no in between. There's no like, well, I'm a good person, and you know, I go to church, or I put a little something in the offering, and you know what, I say my prayers. That's all fine. You've either accepted Christ or you've rejected Christ. And so I need you to do one more thing with your papers. One more drawing. And this is the most important thing. And then I'm going to end with chapter 7, verse 1. And I'm going to tell you how great that verse is. I need you to draw yourself. Either outside the ark or in the ark. Where would you draw yourself? Now, at the age of 7, I gave my life to Christ. It was a great day. It was a fall day in October. I'm working on, let me just tell you a little bit, I'm working on getting the pastor that led me to Christ to come share. Wouldn't that be great? Right? His name is Gene Huber. He's a pastor, he's a retired pastor in Greentree. But he's the one that helped lead me to Christ. And so we have a good relationship, so I've asked him to come and share, and we're going to set up a date. But I would put myself in the ark. And I hope you would too. Now, let me just close with this. Genesis 7:1. Why did I say this verse? Did I tell you to remember this verse? Remember this? Remember I stopped for a minute? I said, don't forget this. Right? Can you guys remember 20 minutes ago? 20 minutes ago, I said, don't forget this. This is one of the best verses in the story of Noah. And here's why it's important. Here it is. Listen. The word come into the ark, the word come in the Hebrew is a great word. It is an invitation from God. This is the first invitation for salvation in the entire Bible. Not literally through Jesus Christ. That comes later through his death. But this is the first time that God says to mankind, come. Come be a part. And that same invitation is open to you today. And maybe you drew yourself here, or maybe you drew yourself here, but you're not really sure. I want to make sure today that all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, are on the ark. Would you bow your heads with me? We're going to pray. And we're going to take God's invitation of come into my kingdom. Jesus, through his grace and mercy, came to this earth, lived a sinless life, and died on a cross so that you and I could experience heaven with him. If you've never done that before, or maybe you did years ago when you were young, or maybe you're young now and you're just not sure, I want to pray with you. Is there anyone that would say, you know what, Pastor, let's pray together? Just slip up your hand. Nobody's looking around. Just raise it up for a minute. Thank you. I appreciate your honesty. That's awesome. Anybody else? Like, I don't know where I'm at with the ark. Thank you. You're good. Amen. Good, good. Let's pray together. Can we do that? Can you pray with me? Church, just say this. Say, God in heaven, I need you. And today, I want to be part of your kingdom. So I ask for your forgiveness. Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth, dying on a cross for my sin. I love you, and I thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen.